across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north on this Wednesday, August 16th, 61 degrees up here on the lake at our home base, 93.5 The Tap. Down in Waukesha, it's 54 degrees. In Madison, 57. La Crosse, you're coming in at 62 degrees. And up in Hayward, 59. Here's what's on tap this morning. A Montana judge has ruled that its state government is violating the constitutional right of young people to have a healthy environment because of its actions supporting fossil fuels and their obstacles to developing cleaner energy sources. So in our weekly climate check segment, we'll have a guest from the youth organization ACE, Act for the Climate Emergency, about how a new generation is fighting for a world cleaner than what's currently being left to them. So we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff and Tanisha Harris coming up at the bottom of this hour. We'll also talk about the Wisconsin Elections Commission meeting today and deciding whether to participate in a political farce as Republican legislators attempt to act on an appointment that is not actually in front of them, acting as if the rules no longer apply to them, rules that they helped create. Foxconn has officially broken more of its promises, this time to the cities of Eau Claire and Green Bay. In our second hour, we'll talk to Ed Falone, former state Supreme Court candidate, about the two conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court justices who complained loudly about some changes made by the new progressive majority, but some of these changes actually return some transparency and accountability to the court. We'll talk to Eric Gunn of the Wisconsin Examiner about conservative efforts to undermine a financial services watchdog agency, including the role being played by Wisconsin Republicans. And it's Wednesday, so we'll talk to Melissa Kay this hour from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. And at the end of the show, from Todd Alba of The Todd Alba Show, heard statewide across the Civic Media Radio Network weekday afternoons from 1 to 3. Along the way, so many topics to cover, you can comment on any of them or put something new up on the table by calling us at 844-967-2789 or emailing us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are so happy to be working with them and for them to allow us these 2 hours of their real estate every weekday morning to talk to you about what we're doing at Up North News, what is happening with Civic Media, and what is happening all around the state of Wisconsin. And by the way, to that end, I haven't mentioned this for a while, and I believe, last I checked, the Civic Pints blood donation challenge is still going on. That's a Civic Media effort to make sure that the summer shortage often seen in blood banks gets addressed. And you can win prizes just by giving blood, taking a selfie, putting it up on social media with the hashtag Civic Pints for a pint of blood. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more about it, learn how you can win Brewers tickets and many more things as well. Meanwhile, back over on my side of the street at Up North News, our daily newsletter goes out every morning about 5 a.m. We talked to Christina Laurie yesterday as she previewed some of the stories that were going to be in future newsletters. Today is the story about the baker in Rhinelander who's on a quest to make Wisconsin's best chocolate chip cookie. And then today marks the first anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act. President Joe Biden was in Milwaukee yesterday talking about all that it has done. Our newsletter article talks about the many ways that the Inflation Reduction Act has already helped Wisconsin, adding jobs and saving money. And so to get more information about our newsletter, head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the banner on top of our page, or right next to it, click the word store, and you'll be taken into a new store that we opened up. I still don't have the book bags to show off, but we've got T-shirts here that say cheese and brews and local news and the definition of a bubbler and a few other really cute designs that well, were put together for us. So again, upnorthnewswi.com is the place to go for that. Aaron Zommers is down in Madison at the Civic Media Global Headquarters. Aaron, no construction cranes blocking your way this morning?
Not this time. The way was free and clear.
I still think I can't even imagine what it was like. It had to, you know, like a comedy of errors to come around a corner and see that. Cause I would at least see if a train was crossing, but you don't expect a construction crane right across the middle of the road.
Yeah. I had no opportunity to find a different path, and then someone was right behind me, so I couldn't back up either.
So hopefully nobody else's commute is like that. It's really nice to live in a place up here in Chippewa County where if traffic is backed up, it's either because of a Buick or a John Deere. Now, we don't have the problems that you'd have, along the Beltline down there in Madison. Or last week, as I was driving back from South Milwaukee, on the way out, I took 794 and the Hone Bridge, which is gives you a lovely view of Lake Michigan and all of the Menominee Valley in Milwaukee. On the way back, I made the mistake of taking 894, which is kind of the bypass along there. And there was a crash somewhere along the line. So it was just a parking lot. I can't say, after living in Milwaukee many years ago, I can't say I missed the 894 traffic or the Beltline traffic for that matter. It's your own thing to deal with over there, Mr. Zommers. And thankfully, the worst you have to do is a construction crane at 5 in the morning, I hope.
I hope so too.
Although there have been backups on the Beltline at 5 a.m. too. It's just a ridiculous situation sometimes, rush hour traffic in some of our larger cities. Let's take a break here. We'll get into headlines, the passing of a legendary Wisconsin figure overnight as well, and how the Brewers did out west against the Dodgers last night. Wherever you are, listening to all across Wisconsin to Up North News Radio, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back. Emily Robison from the Dixie Chicks, now known as the Chicks, turns 51 years old today. We'll have more celebrity and musical birthdays and a history lesson coming up in just a bit on this Wednesday morning here on Up North News Radio. First for Aaron, because people are watching us all the time now on video, we just want to make sure you know that Roger wishes you a gesundheit for that ill-timed sneeze that you had just as I was asking you a question.
Yes, thank you, Roger. And thank you, Pat, for being able to extend the question.
Sometimes you just got to know when to tap dance and when to find a little bit more filler. For example, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers next and their game out west against the Dodgers. And so as soon as I get back to that part of my notes, because goodness knows I didn't stay awake for that one. But here's the story on it. Dodgers rookie pitcher Bobby Miller gave up only one hit to the Brewers, and that was his very first pitch of the game, a single by Christian Yelich. Miller then went on to pitch for six innings, retiring the final 18 batters in a row that he faced, and the Dodgers went on to beat the Brewers 6-2. The game was tied in the sixth inning before the Dodgers got to starter Adrian Hauser, and by the time the frame was done, the Dodgers had sent 10 batters to the plate and scored five runs. As for Hauser, he went 5 1/3 innings. He allowed four runs, three of them earned. He gave up five hits. He struck out six and walked nobody. Carlos Santana had a 442-foot blast leading off the seventh for the Brewers. Wade Miley will start for the Crew tonight as they play again in Los Angeles. You can hear them in the Fox Valley by listening to Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3, 1100 AM. Or news from the center in Richland Center, WRCE, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. We want to note the passing of a Wisconsin legend, especially in Native American and progressive circles around the state, but so many other people had met Ada Deer in so many different capacities. And the note came up from State Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler on social media that Ada Deer passed away peacefully in her sleep at about 9:45 last night. 8 days ago, she had celebrated her 88th birthday, surrounded by friends and family. Ben writes that Ada carried with her the love and gratitude of so many. Her extraordinary legacy lives on around the country and the world and in all of us. In 2007, Ada Deer was awarded the Robert and Belle Case La Follette Award for Distinction in Public Service by the Wisconsin Historical Society. And in 2020, she was awarded by the Wisconsin Alumni Association with their highest honor, the Distinguished Alumni Award. A nationally recognized social worker, community organizer, activist, and political leader, Ada Deer is a champion of Indian rights, so wrote the Wisconsin Historical Society, when she led the successful campaign to restore federal recognition of the Menominee tribe. As head of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, she participated in the development of U.S. policies on international human rights, and she supported a strong national position on the rights of indigenous people everywhere. At UW-Madison's School of Social Work, Ada Deer developed groundbreaking classes in the 1970s on Native American issues and multiculturalism, and created the first program to provide social work training on reservations. She later became a fellow at the Harvard Institute of Politics at the John F. Kennedy School of Government. The first Native American to run for Congress in Wisconsin and win a congressional primary, she also received award at this year's State Democratic Party Convention for Distinguished Lifetime Service to the state of Wisconsin. And none of that really gets into her own personal efforts to teach, inspire, befriend, mentor, cheer, and celebrate others around here. Ada Deer passing away Tuesday evening at the age of 88 years old. Foxconn is in the news again, and once again, it's for falling short of making promises that seemed unbelievable even back then, and even more so now, as Foxconn says it will not open up and is now selling the properties in Green Bay and in Oshkosh, or Green Bay and Eau Claire, rather, where it was going to have so-called innovation centers, which were ostensibly ways to teach about what all Foxconn was going to be doing, but actually turned out to be more window dressing, as it were, to build up support for the more than $3 billion of state tax dollars that Republicans had set aside to give to this foreign company to come in, build ostensibly a giant factory and employ 13,000 people, a plan that always seemed too ambitious, especially given Foxconn's record. And yet, Republicans led by Scott Walker and Donald Trump at the time were happy to go along with what I would argue was the ruse, as the Trump administration was trying desperately to show that it was creating jobs rather than, you know, cratering them. But the innovation centers that were once set to employ hundreds of people will not be happening now. Each innovation center, according to a Wisconsin Public Radio report, was going to employ between 100 and 200 people. There was supposed to be a Milwaukee center employing around 500 people. But those plans were basically put on hold in 2019, and now Foxconn says it's going to focus on, quote, ongoing business activities at its site in Mount Pleasant rather than the innovation centers. To this date, the amount of employment in Foxconn is almost laughably low compared to the promises that it made. But allow me to hasten to add that Foxconn being here at all and employing anybody at all is good news. There was nobody rooting for Foxconn to fail. There were a lot of voices that were expressing skepticism that Foxconn could live up to something so grandiose, again, especially given their past record, and that everybody should have set their sights in a more moderate direction before teeing up literally billions of dollars to give to this company. So they do have a presence here. That's good. They do have jobs here. That's good. We still don't know exactly what they're doing there. We just know it's not the large, high-quality flat screens monitors that they were promising, or even a couple of other scaled-down versions of it. And whatever it is now, it adds something to the economy. But a lot of us had said at the time, back in 2018 or so, rather than $3 billion or more going into one location in Racine County, what if you broke that up into a whole lot of smaller ways to help businesses, local businesses, hometown businesses in all 72 counties in Wisconsin? And that's exactly what happened after Scott Walker left office and after Donald Trump left office, is that you had Governor Tony Evers using these Main Street bounce back grants to provide $10,000 of relief to eventually 10,000 small businesses. And $10,000 goes a long way with a small business. It keeps storefronts from being vacant on main streets. It keeps people in their jobs. That's the right way to do economic development, by and large, is on every main street in every community around Wisconsin. It's not to say you can't go after the big things. There's still big things that have to be done out there. But try to do it in a more measured way before you start sending all of our economic development money, you start sending all of, you know, a bunch of our road money down to another part of the state. And this latest move by Foxconn is just another reminder that there are right ways and there are wrong ways to do economic development. Another one of the right ways to do economic development is to take care of the people who are doing the work. And the people doing the work right now are sending a message loud and clear that they need affordable childcare. And yet you have Republicans in the legislature continuing to thumb their nose at Wisconsin families, to the point where one legislator really got an inbox full over the past day or so. State Representative Dewey Strobel tweeted this about childcare and about Governor Tony Evers wanting to help childcare centers and parents so that those childcare centers would stay in business. Dewey Strobel wrote, "So the translation is Governor Evers wants to use taxpayer funds to subsidize private daycares for people of means, creating another tax on all wage earners for a program most of us will never use. Do they not, and do we trust liberals to understand the workforce?" Well, people jumped all over this notion of using taxpayer funds to subsidize private entities for people of means, creating another tax on all wage earners for a program most of us will never use. And we're tweeting back at him, "You understand you just described voucher schools." And a few other things about the wrong way to do economic development. That we've been watching how Dewey Strobel and others would spend our tax dollars. And that rather than help with things like affordable daycare, they put together a monster-sized tax cut for the highest income tax brackets. That's where their priority was. Governor Evers has called them back into special session in September, and we'll see at that point if there's going to be any change of heart by Republicans or if they're going to continue to say one thing about childcare while they do another thing when it comes to voucher schools. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is going to be meeting later today, and they're going to be discussing whether to take part in a political farce. Because Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, her term has expired. And in the olden days, the Elections Commission would vote to either renominate her or not, or nominate somebody else. They'd send it to the Wisconsin State Senate, and they would act on the nomination. They'd either approve it or they would disapprove it, essentially firing her. And Republican state senators have said that if the nomination gets to them, they're going to fire her. They're going to reject the nomination. But there's a wrinkle that has developed. Remember Fred Prent, the Natural Resources Board member who stuck around a year and more after the end of his term because he said no replacement had been confirmed yet. And so he could stay. And the conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court at the time agreed and said, "Yep, you're a squatter, but you squat there just as long as you like." Well, Megan Wolf can now do the same thing based on that precedent, and the Democratic members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission abstained from a vote on whether to renominate Megan Wolf or not. And as a result, there wasn't the 4 votes out of the 6 needed to advance a nomination to the state Senate. So there's nothing for the state Senate to vote on. And yet state Senate Republicans say they're going to vote on it anyway. They're going to vote on a nomination that doesn't exist and then reject it and then fire Megan Wolf, even though they're the ones who helped change the rules so that Megan Wolf's nomination doesn't come to them and she can continue to serve. Because apparently the rules only apply to Republicans that they like and not to everybody, that there isn't, you know, one law, one set of rules for us all. Coming up next is our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff, and we'll hear what young people have done in Montana and elsewhere to try to advance the notion of paying attention to the climate already. We'll be back. You're up north. It's electric. We're back now with our weekly climate check on Up North News Radio, and a big milestone event, maybe not in terms of the immediate action from it, but just the symbolic nature of what just happened in a courtroom in Montana as it relates to the climate and young people and their willingness to fight for something better than, unfortunately, what our generation is leaving to them. And so with that, as we do every week, I bring in Melissa Baldoff, and then we'll have a special guest coming up as well. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, well, it's really nice to have a little bit of good news to share because of what happened in Montana. And basically, to give the short version, a judge there has ruled that a constitutional right to a healthy, livable climate is protected by Montana state law, setting a legal precedent that government has a duty to protect citizens from climate change. And this is all thanks to 16 young plaintiffs who were part of a lawsuit that's been around for a very long time. So I would imagine, Melissa, seeing that news probably made your day.
It really did. It is so inspiring. And I think that we have seen time and again that this generation of young people in particular is incredibly engaged and incredibly active in fighting for their future and in fighting for all of our futures. You know, they are stepping up on issues like climate change, like the fight for safer gun laws and for the right to abortion. We are seeing that time and again that young people are really, really doing the work to hold people accountable. And in this case, you know, it's just incredibly exciting. Montana is one of only three states where they have that affirmative right to a healthful environment in the Constitution. And it's incredible work that they brought this lawsuit successfully against the government for violating their rights. You know, I hope to see more young people taking, you know, whatever kind of action they can take like this to be inspired. You know, unfortunately, like, you know, I said, there's only two other states where a law like this is on the books, but we would love to see more young people out there, you know, fighting for that accountability and to protect our environment and to protect our futures.
And again, Montana being dominated by Republicans, that legislature has passed measures that favor the fossil fuel industry and have stifled any local government efforts to encourage renewable energy. And they've also increased the cost to challenge oil, gas, and coal projects in court. So there's still a long road ahead, but just the affirmation received in court is a big deal. And so, Melissa, you wanted to reach out to some young adults who are active in climate matters like this. And so that's where I'll leave it to you to talk about Tanisha and the group that she's joining us from today.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have our guest today is Tanisha Harris, who's somebody I've gotten to know the past year or two working in the climate space. She's with an organization called ACE. And I think is just a really great example of why young people need to not only be, you know, at the table and in the rooms for these conversations, but like really be leading them. So I am super happy to have Tanisha here to tell us a little bit about what she does with ACE and how young people are leading the fight for climate justice.
Tanisha Harris, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, we're so glad to have you here. So ACE stands for Act for the Climate Emergency. Can you give us a little background on what this youth organization is all about?
Yes. Yeah, so Action for the Climate Emergency educates and inspires and supports young people to take the fight for their future against the climate emergency. And one of the first ways we do that is by simply educating young people about what the climate emergency is and how it impacts their lives, their day-to-days, their communities, through our award-winning flagship program called Our Climate, Our Future, which right here in Wisconsin, you can have one of our wonderful staff people come to your school if you're an educator or a teacher and deliver an on Our Climate, Our Future assembly, or as an educator or teacher, or just someone who is generally interested in teaching the next generation about the climate emergency, you can download the curriculum from our website. But we take that to the next level. So what happens once you have and motivated, excited, go-getting young person who is like, I want to do something about this very large existential crisis that's facing my generation. So then we support and inspire them to become the next generation of youth climate activists.
That's fantastic. And, you know, the issues that they're seeing, and Melissa, you talked about this before on other issues such as gun safety, they have been so much more exposed to some of these issues than our generation was growing up. And from a climate standpoint, there's no doubt that they're seeing the hotter temperatures, more droughts, more wildfires. These young plaintiffs in Montana, who at the time ranged in age from 5 to 22, you know, they talked about the decreased snowpack, the destructive floods in Yellowstone National Park. They had supportive testimony from farmers and from Native Americans. There just seems to be, even if you weren't there with ACE, Tanisha, but thankfully you are, it just seems like this is a generation that already has had to live through so much more exposure to a changing climate than we ever did.
Yeah, so ACE was actually how I became a youth climate and environmental justice activist. They did an assembly at my school. And so it was kind of a eureka moment. Like a lot of young people that we work with, you already know the signs of the climate, of climate change infiltrating your day-to-day lives. Like, I was able to say, oh, how come I live in a food desert? Or why are there so many higher cases of asthma or respiratory illnesses in my community? Why are there so many rates of cancer? Why is the air quality so poor in this part of Chicago versus this other part? And then ACE came in and was like, this is why. And I was like, oh my God. So we're finding like this exposure, we're kind of just giving young people the language and the facts to already back up what they feel in their lived experience.
That's great to hear. And, you know, one thing I was hoping you might talk a little bit about, Tanisha, is I know that ACE is really effective at running campaigns to help people use social media and to train young people to organize on social media. And that's one thing I kind of view as a mom of teenagers, that my kids are so much more exposed to what's going on in the world through social media. And so like, yeah, there are definitely drawbacks to social media for young people, but I think it's also like a good thing that people are more educated and aware. So, you know, how do you guys, train young people to like use the internet for good?
Well, it's not that difficult because young people are great at using the internet. So that makes our job a little bit easier. But one of the things we do is we provide the tools. So let's say, and sometimes young people come to us with the tools. We are definitely always on the other role of playing the one being educated. But yes, with our campaigns, we have a youth advisory board, for example, full of young people from all across the nation, ranging from high school to college students, who help us create the materials and content that is relevant and resonates with young people. So when we are creating these social toolkits or are launching digital campaigns, we have created that in collaboration with young people as decision makers. And so when it finally gets to our wider network of young people, or say maybe even Melissa, your teenagers, they already know how to use it because it's packaged so nicely where it's like, you do this here, this is the hashtag you use, and it's already been vetted by young people. So the young people we give these materials to are excited and they're like, oh, but relevant in the way that we also meet them where they're at. And so when we're doing our digital engagement, it's on TikTok, it's on YouTube, it's on Discord if necessary. And so we're infiltrating the spaces where young people are and saying, we know that you have this looming existential crisis over your head. We have the tools to help you, but we just want to be a tool and a resource. You are the voice. You are the power behind it.
Well, to use that voice then means that they're going to be using it up against some very powerful forces that are out there. And so I want to run one of those by you. In the Montana lawsuit, for example, and this is a very familiar argument, but the state of Montana argued that even though their state is a major producer of coal burned for electricity and they have large oil and gas reserves, they made the point, you know, they tried to rest on an argument that, well, Montana is just one little state in a great big world. And, you know, there's nothing that we can do here. So why should we be punished, the way they put it, for a global problem? When that argument comes up to young people today, do they have a response for that?
Yes, we do. So a lot of young people start off on the local level. We start off small, making changes in our communities, and then we grow from local to county to state to the nation to global reach. And so while, yes, Montana is not going to resolve the entire climate emergency for the globe, this sets the precedent and it sets the tone for the rest of the nation, for the rest of the world to address and look at and say, young people can make an impact. We are going to make an impact and we're going to start where we can, but we will not stop there.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think that's so important to really, you know, demonstrate that you know, young people are taking this action, setting that tone, you know, when you're up against, you know, such a big bad in the fossil fuel industry, spending, you know, $800 million a year to share disinformation. They want to slow down the energy transition. You know, they want it to be, they want us to be in the status quo here when it comes to, you know, them having the ability to make these record profits. So having these opportunities for accountability is so incredibly important. So, you know, they know that they're not going to just get away with this without any challenge. And it's very heartening to know that we have so many talented and passionate young people who are, you know, who are leading the charge here.
Well, so, we're gonna need it, Melissa, because yeah. Before I run out of time, I want to squeeze in mentioning, and it's sad that this question is rooted in complete heartbreak, but a similar lawsuit by young people is being heard in Hawaii as well. And it was only about a week before last that a trial date was set, and it's not going to happen until next summer. But Tanisha, I can imagine that, you know, on the heartbreak of this latest wildfire in Hawaii, there will be other disasters, sadly, that young people will have to point to and say, do something.
Yes. And unfortunately, with climate change looming as it is and only getting worse, we are facing a lot of climate-fueled weather events that young people are having to try and survive through. ACE has a lot of young people in our network, on our YAB, myself included, who have survived these extreme weather events that have been caused by climate change, or even just the harms of pollution. I myself has asthma. My entire family has asthma. My entire community has asthma because of poor air quality. So unfortunately, until robust and comprehensive action is taken on a national and global scale, this will only continue to happen.
So in conclusion, if folks hear more or want to learn more about ACE, what can they do?
Well, you can go visit us at acespace.org and find, if you're in Wisconsin, you can join an action team in Wisconsin and work with some wonderful ACE staff people.
Very nice. Tanisha Harris, thank you so much for telling us more about the organization. Greatly appreciate it and wish you all the best. And Melissa, thank you so much as well for just another very timely climate check report. It's again, it's nice to have a little victory as happened in Montana. But as you and I both know, there's still a lot of work to be done. But at least we've gotten a little uplift from some of the young folks, from the youths out there.
That's right. That's right. We have some hope. And that's a wonderful thing.
There you go. So with the Inflation Reduction Act turning one today, just a quick refresher on the many, many things that it did. It included rebates for all manner of energy efficient appliances, tax credits for electric vehicles and home improvements that include energy efficiency or solar, grants to help local governments with energy components like solar, billions invested in clean energy manufacturing and installation, help farmers and rural electric cooperatives with smarter practices that are better for the air, the water, in the land. It also included helping tens of thousands of Wisconsinites keep their health insurance or keep their health insurance costs lower, lower prescription drug costs, and raise taxes on the wealthiest corporations. A lot to celebrate on this first anniversary. Now back to the rest of our history lesson and a little music break as well with Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio. After this break, you're up north. Picture a younger Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio kind of dancing along, recreating the Madonna video with a hairbrush that she sings into. Yeah, there you go. Y'all aren't going to believe this, and I don't use that word lightly, y'all, unless it's really important. Y'all aren't going to believe this. Madonna is a senior citizen starting today. Happy 65th birthday to the material girl, Melissa Kay. Where has the time gone?
Indeed.
Wow, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I am wonderful.
You know,
the sun is shining.
It is.
It's a great day.
Oh, it is gorgeous. There's a chance of some storms later today, tonight, up in the northwestern part, but then we're going to get a heat wave after that.
Yeah.
So, folks who thought summer was done, no.
We're back.
Plenty of time for boating or biking or whatever it is that you like to do. So yeah, every so often now, whenever I see a birthday come in from 1958, I just go, oh, another new senior citizen. And I'm always amazed. Here's another one. Angela Bassett, born the same day. She's
really?
65 years old today. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I would have loved to have seen Angela Bassett kind of take that same route of being like a pop singer and everything. I mean, she's a very talented person.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell is 61 years old today. We mentioned earlier, Emily Robinson from The Chicks is 51. And here's another one. Again, you just picture this as a very young person. And so it's really hard to say that happy birthday to Vanessa Carlton, who today is 43 years old.
Ooh.
You know the piano, you get set to see this young woman, and trust me, she's still a young woman of 43, but
making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound.
Don't I just sound like an old man the way I just always bemoan the way that time is marching on here?
Wow.
On this day in 1896, the Alaska Gold Rush began as gold was discovered in a tributary of the Klondike River in Canada, setting off the Klondike Gold Rush that would stretch to Alaska and beyond. And what was the Jack London book, Call of the Wild? That was one of my favorites growing up as a kid.
Mm.
Let's see. I've got one from 1967. It was the middle of the night on this August 16th when Louis Armstrong, fresh off playing a midnight show at a Vegas casino, headed to a recording studio, recorded all night long, and this was one of the tracks he laid down that night. So don't say you can't do some of your best work at 3 in the morning.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Now, unfortunately, it's also a melancholy occasion, as our viewer Roger tells us on Facebook, reminds us that we lost both a king and a queen on this day in music history. Elvis Presley died at his home in Graceland, the result of a prescription drug overdose, on this day in 1977 at the age of 42. And the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, died this day, 5 years ago now, after a long battle with pancreatic cancer at the age of 76. Just crazy to have lost a couple of different legends on days like that. But look at all the legends. You got Louis Armstrong today, Elvis, Aretha Franklin, Madonna. It's not a bad list to have.
No,
associated,
not at all.
Associated with your day. Mm-hmm. You were saying that you were boating recently. You go up north to do that?
Yeah, we went up into Tomahawk over the weekend and got to boat with some friends, pontooning.
So
embracing summer.
I was going to say, what is a pontooning afternoon like for you? Do you make stops along the way? Do you is everything out of a great big cooler and you never get off the boat? How does that day work?
No, we boated around the lake and then stopped and picked up some more friends and then boated to another part of the lake and got some food and then boated back, dropped off friends. And yeah, just enjoyed the day, stuck my feet in the water, enjoyed the sights. Visited some old haunts of the people we were with. I remember that tree.
It was fun. You didn't at any point, nobody went out in a tube and you tried to pull somebody on a tube in the pontoon using that, you know, lawnmower-sized engine that a lot of pontoons have for putt-putting?
No, we didn't. We did pull up to a couple, like, just sandy beach areas and stopped and got out and tossed a football around a little bit.
So it was fun.
I
had to ask because I've told the story earlier about how I live right where the Chippewa River becomes Lake Wissota, but we almost never go take our pontoon out on the big lake, mostly because it's kind of wavy, you know, there's nothing to stop the wind. We tend to go upriver and we kind of take the same route to the same place and we really like it. But one day we actually just went pontooning or boating out on the big lake and it was almost like living in a new neighborhood because we hadn't done it for so long. You know, you have to shake up your routine now and then. Aaron's in a different situation because he's from Manitowoc and, you know, you don't do a lot of pontooning on Lake Michigan out there. I don't think.
No, not really. It's a little cold.
Yeah.
Windy, wavy.
Yeah, just a bit.
Do you get to go boating or do anything on the water with friends or family?
Not really on Lake Michigan. I do get to up north up there by the Rhinelander area where my dad's side of the family shares a cabin. And so we go boat up there sometimes on some of the smaller lakes.
Well, allow me to wax nostalgic for just a moment here about when you say going up north and boating, because I love being here on Lake Wissota. I love being on the Chippewa River. But the water is it's kind of rust colored. There's a lot more iron in the water here. And there were a couple of times running for Congress a decade ago when, you know, we stayed at a lot of little hotels and motels because the 7th District is so big. There were a couple of different times when supporters would allow me to stay at their cabins. They'd give me a key or tell me, you know, how to get into the cabin. And a couple of them are on just these small lakes, much smaller compared to Lake Wissota. And it's the kind of lakes, you know them, crystal clear all the way to the sandy bottom. And as somebody who does not get that on an everyday basis, I must have felt like the way, you know, a lot of folks from the cities, from Madison, Milwaukee, from you know, the Twin Cities, how they feel when they come up and go, oh, my God, this is heaven on earth up here. It's just so peaceful. And, of course, right on cue, a loon, you know, would make its call or whatnot. We have the prettiest places around here. Mm-hmm. We're the most beautiful state. What can I say? Yeah. Melissa, what's happening on locally grown radio these days?
You know, we're excited because we're sponsors for Lunch at the River this week. So tomorrow we will be at Lunch at the River in downtown Wisconsin Rapids from 11:30 to 1, mixing and matching and being out and about, which is a lot of fun. Maybe a couple call-ins to our WIRI station, 105.5. So
good.
It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, glad to hear about that. Hope folks.
Oh, and we got giveaways too, I think. And we got stuff to give away.
Anytime you can, you know, entice people with prizes. Come on in. Get the swag. And learn more from Melissa over at Locally Grown Radio WFHR. Thanks, Melissa, so much. Always good to visit with you.
Yeah, you too, guys.
All right. Have a great weekend. And when we come back, I mean, we've had a busy first hour. We've got a really busy second hour as well. We're going to be talking to Ed Falone, former state Supreme Court candidate, about changes made by the new Progressive Majority, and Eric Gunn of the Wisconsin Examiner. All next, you're up north.